Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Sar Malka Reichman. Today we're learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yutet, which opens up telling us that Shaul spoke to Yonatan, his son, and all of his servants in order to try to get them to kill David. But Yonatan liked David. Yonatan ben Shaul chafetz b'David ma'od. And so Yonatan tells David, Mivakesh Shaul avila hamitecha, my father Shaul is seeking to kill you. But Yonatan has a plan to save David. He says, Hishamerna baboker, in the morning be very careful, be in a hidden place, and hide. The Malbim explains that he should be more careful in the morning because in the morning he will be on his bed and not yet have his weapons with him. And here's the plan. Yonatan says, I will go and stand next to my father in the field, and you will be there, waiting in a hidden place. I will talk about you to my father, Vera'itima, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what my father says, Vihigadzitilach, and then I will tell you. David should wait in the field, either so that he could hear the conversation, or so that, practically speaking, he's in a good position to escape if need be, rather than waiting in the palace where he may be unsafe. The Mefarshim, many of them follow Targum Yonatan, who explains, in keeping with the implication of the Pasuk, that Yonatan would speak positive words about David. The Malbim learns from the bet that precedes David, Vayedeber Yonatan b'David, that like other places in the Torah where it says, Vatidaber bi, that in fact it was negative speech, which Shaul understood to be positive traits. However, from the Pasuk, it seems that Yonatan spoke positive words about David, and he said, Al yechate ha-melech be'avdo be'David, you should not sin against your servant David, because he didn't do anything to you, and his deeds are good, v'chima asav tov l'cha me'od. And furthermore, he took his life into his own hands and he struck that plishti, accomplishing, bringing about a great salvation for Am Yisrael. What's more, ra'ita v'tismach, you saw it and you were happy. And why would you sin with innocent blood to kill David for nothing? Shaul heard the words of Yonatan. He understood them, and Shaul swore, Chai Hashem im yumat. He swore that David would not be killed. And so Yonatan called David and told him about the conversation. Yonatan brought David back to Shaul. Vayihil fanav kes moshel shom. And David was then in the palace before Shaul, as he had previously been, thinking that he was now safe from Shaul. At this point, we hear that the milchama, the war with the Plishtim, continued, and David went to fight them. And of course, he was once again successful. He struck them with a makah gedola, beyanusu mipanav, and they ran away from him. Immediately after we hear of David's accomplishments in the war, once again we hear about this Ruach Hashem Ra'ah. Vati Ruach Hashem Ra'ah Shaul. There was this bad spirit from Hashem that came upon Shaul. Now, we must wonder throughout the story, if there's a Ruach Ra'ah coming from Hashem, to what extent can anybody hold Shaul responsible for his behavior? Is there some kind of terribly bad and ominous mood that befalls Shaul that causes him to take action against David and to try to kill David? So the Malbim learns in the previous perek from the proximity of the Pasuk where Shaul is oyein at David, where he eyes him with an evil eye. Immediately afterwards, we hear the Pasuk telling us that a Ruach Ra from Hashem befell Shaul. The Malbim understands from this that the Ruach Ra was actually a result of Shaul's being preoccupied with negative thoughts about David and wanting to kill him, and that as a result of this, the Ruach Ra'ah befell him. This is interesting because here too in our perek, what immediately precedes the Ruach Ra from Hashem is David's great victory once again over the Plishtim, leaving us to conclude that perhaps it is Shaul's preoccupation with David's accomplishments and his jealousy that actually brings on this mood, this Ruach Ra from Hashem. However, we cannot escape the fact that this Ruach Ra is always attributed to Hashem. Immediately after we hear of the Ruach Ra from Hashem that befell Shaul in our parak, we hear that while David is sitting with an instrument in his hands playing for Shaul, Shaul has the spear in his hand. David and Shaul wants to strike David with the spear, which will then go into the wall. David goes away from Shaul and the spear hits the wall. And David runs away from Shaul on that night. Malbim contrasts this attempt to kill David to the previous attempt in the previous parak and says that this one was far more premeditated than the previous attempt, with Shaul having the spear prepared in his hand before David comes and starts playing the instrument. As David has run away, Shaul pursues him with messengers. Shaul sends these messengers to the house of David, not to kill him, but l'shamro, initially just to watch over him, and then l'hamito baboker, so that he could be killed in the morning. Perhaps so that it should not look that like Shaul is just killing him with no reason, but there will be a pretense. Firstly, there is the pretense, according to the Malbim, that David ran away from Shaul. He's not allowed to run away from the king, but he still wanted to be able to let all the nation know that he was killed bedin, he was judged and then killed, so he'd be brought back to the palace, judged and then killed. And perhaps there would be some kind of altercation or confrontation that takes place between David and these Shomrim, and that would also create another pretense, another reason for David to be considered rebelling against the king, Morid B'Malchut, justifying David's being put to death. Michal tells David, "Im eincha memaleit et nafshecha alayla, machar tamumat. If you don't run away tonight, tomorrow you will be dead." And Michal heroically saves David. She lowers him down from the window so that David can run away. Michal is praised for this in the Medrash that explains each verse of the Eshet Chayil in Mishlei as referring to a different great woman in Tanakh. Noda b'sha'arim bala, this woman, this Eshet Chayil, who is known, whose husband is known in the gates of the city, is referring to Michal, who saved her husband from death. Michal is also referred to later on through the Midrash as in Eglah, as a calf. The Midrash says that just like the calf does not carry a burden upon itself, Michal also did not carry upon herself the burden of her father. It seems to be comparing her to an animal who mindlessly would carry an owl. In contrast to the animals that would do this, the egla, the calf, does not carry an owl. Michal made a decision not to just mindlessly carry out the will of her father, and instead she prevented David from being killed. Now Michal does not just rely on the fact that the Shomrim will leave, that the messengers from her father will just leave if she tells them that David isn't there. And so she takes these trafim, these statues, and she puts them on his bed under the blanket. And just in case they come and they feel, they try to feel with their hands, she takes a goat skin and places that up on the top where his head would be, and she covers it up with a beged, with some kind of a garment. And when Shaul sends messengers a second time to take David, she says he is sick. Shaul then sends messengers a third time to see David, and he says, "Ha'alu oto b'amita elai l'hamito, lift him up on the bed, bring him in bed to me so that I could kill him. Mefarshim explained that the nation would then see that David was lying and faking being sick, which would be yet another reason for Shaul to be justified in killing David. The Malachim get there, they uncover the bed, they see that it was in fact just these statues that felt like a person with the goatskin at the top, at which point Shaul says to Michal, "Why did you trick me and send my enemy away so that he can run away?" And Michal says to Shaul, "Well, he said to me, Shalchini, lama amitech? What could I have done? David said, if you don't send me away, I will kill you." David runs away and he goes to Shmuel in the Ramah. And then we are told that Shmuel and David go and they sit in Nayot. Shaul is told that David is with Shmuel in Nayot in the Ramah. Upon hearing that David is with Shmuel ben Nayot b'Ramah, Shaul sends messengers to get David, at which point something fascinating happens. The messengers encounter, upon their arrival, they encounter Nevi'im, who are prophesying under Shmuel's guidance. So Shmuel omid nitzav aleihem, at which point the messengers of Shaul begin to be minabe their prophecy as well. Shaul hears what happens. He sends a second group of messengers. When they encounter the students of Shmuel prophesying with Shmuel, they start to prophesy themselves as well. And this happens to the third group of messengers that Shaul sends as well. The Malbim explains what's going on. He learns from the double language used to express that Shmuel is standing. Shmuel omeid nitzav aleihem. Omeid, he is just standing. Nitzav, he is influencing them. The Malbim explains that Shmuel is the source from which the other Talmidim, the students of Shmuel, are receiving their nevuah. They are drawing their nevuah through him. He is compared to a candle, a ner shemimenu hudlaku nefshoteihem b'or Elokei Agadol. Shmuel can be likened to the flame from whom the other Nevi'im's souls are ignited with the divine light. And he says this comes both from the greatness of the flow of nevuah that came from Shmuel and the kedushah that came from the preparation of the other Nevi'im. At which point, those sparks, which were hidden inside the souls of the messengers of Shaul, became ignited from that nevuah that was being given to Shmuel and his students, and they prophesied as well. Now Shaul himself decides to go, and as you might expect, Shaul receives nevuah as well. However, he receives his nevuah before he even arrives because of the great flow of nevuah. And here's the description of Shaul's nevuah. Vayivshat gam hu begadav vayitzna be. And Shaul as well divested himself of his clothing and he prophesied. Vayipol arom kol hayom hahu v'chol halayla. And he falls naked the entire day and the entire night as he is engaged in prophecy. What could this possibly mean? So it would be helpful to learn a little bit about receiving nevuah. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in Tzidkas HaTzadik Ma'amar Resh Yud explains that when a person really wants to have kavana, and he means in tefillah, that a person should yifshot gufo minishmato, should divest his body, should take his body off of his neshama. Of course, this is figurative, that a person should take away his connection to the Gashmi, to the, his physical, his physicality and his body. And he says this is very close to the level of nevuah. And he explains that based on this pasuk, when it says that Shaul halachu mitznabei arom, he was naked, what it means is that the guf, the body, is actually the levush, what cloaks or clothes the soul, and therefore what it meant is that he divested himself of any connection to his physical body. This is also consistent with what the Rambam explains in Mor Nevuchim, when he explains that all Nevi'im besides Moshe Rabbeinu had a complete sensory shutdown at the time of receiving prophecy. And so here he is in this great prophetic state, Shaul, and he is receiving nevuah the whole day and the whole night, with everyone else there. The parak ends telling us, Al Kein Yomru, as we've heard before, Hagam Sha'ol ben Nevi'im is Sha'ol, one of the Nevi'im as well. Thank you for learning together, Liloy Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.